This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
9 days. 9 days and counting until the future of the Minnesota Vikings is determined once and for all. Or something like that.
Where does this rank for you guys on a scale of just Vikings building a team excitement, like in your
12
time
out of 10, 100 out of 10.
Yeah.
But it,
100,000 out of 10.
Right. No, but I'm saying, can you think of a time since you started to follow this team when you've been this intrigued, curious, excited, anxious
off season? Like, well, there's off season, like anxious excitement. There's in season for off season. This is the peak.
Yeah.
It's the peak.
I think I'm in the same boat.
We didn't know about it. The Jared Allen thing was pretty cool. Like that was a great, but you didn't know about it.
Like put it pre, it's like pre social media era though. It's tough because it's the way that you consume. At least let's put it this way: anyone that is religiously watching or listening to a show called Purple Daily on April 16th
is a big Northwest.
4 months after the season ended, basically 3 months.
Yep.
You are a degenerate Vikings fan. But the way that you consume content in, say, 2008 when the Jared Allen trade went down,
right,
was not as like in your face 24/7. Twitter didn't exist. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube was fledgling.
Yeah.
So I almost think it's you got to look at like the last 10 years as a separate time period.
And Jared, we didn't know about too. Like it happened and then it was cool, but it had, you know. I guess the only other time that I've been this on my, like, oh wow, something might take place was Favre, because like that was always percolating.
Yeah,
going back to 2008 when, by the way, the Vikings did tamper. But going back to 2008, that was probably the only time that I've been this like on edge about, oh my god, this might happen.
You mean not following TJ Houshmandzadeh down 394 with Chip Scoggins? That wasn't as exciting.
That was fun.
Yeah,
that was fun. That was Chip in the car and me blogging because Twitter didn't exist, at least in our world, yet. So Chip was in the car tailing him downtown and giving me a play-by-play for me to blog it.
Get down. Just duck down.
He's going right on six. I was going left on Chicago.
Would you have your computer like in your lap in the passenger seat while he was flying?
Oh, no. He was driving and on the phone.
Oh, okay.
And this is before that hands-free crap.
Okay.
So he was just holding the phone and driving. I think he had a baseball cap on. Just to try and pull it down.
Sunglasses.
Just in case.
Sunglasses. Sunglasses. Might recognize never know
who. Yeah. Who's might know?
Scoggins. P.I. I think he was in the car. I think he was in the limo with the Wilfs. I think that's what. I think Mark Wilf was in there too.
I do miss the way that we would consume in those days, because you'd go for baseball. You'd go to MLBTradeRumors.com and you just refresh the blog posts.
God, yeah.
And in the late 2000s, you'd go to Access Vikings, Star Tribune, Access Vikings, and all. Has Judd Zolgad updated the Brett Favre watch?
And I was at Pro Football 2010. Talk. And that's when PFT, before it was associated with NBC. And there was 1 year, was it the draft or free agency? It crashed.
Oh,
and part of the reason why they're now affiliated with NBC is I think NBC might have actually helped get them back online. Because it was nothing.
Yeah.
It just crashed.
We do have a nugget from Mike Florio that we will lead now that we've sort of soft led the show. We will lead with an actual topic involving tampering and whether a pick swap is possible and a bunch of other things under the quarterback watch 2024 bin. But let's shout out our friends over at Northern Fire Grilling and Barbecue, Judd. Let's do it.
And look, it's springtime. Summertime. Guess what? It's barbecue time, and the best barbecue playground in town, our friends, as Phil just said, at Northern Fire Grilling and Barbecue Supply. 70 different gas grills. You're checking out some of the stuff right here. It's incredible. We're talking about over 150 dry rubs on their flavor wall. There's also a sauce wall. There so you know what? Sauce, dry rubs. And that is only a start. They also are the only Twin Eagle dealer in the Twin Cities carrying luxury outdoor grill equipment. There also are unique cuts of meats and seafood. Look, if you're a barbecue person, there is nothing these folks don't have. Check out their website right now, northernfirebbq.com. That's northernfirebbq.com. Or check out their location where you just saw those shots from, north of Highway 62 on Shady Oak Road, northernfirebbq.com. The official barbecuers, and we're proud of that, of PD. There is, again, it is a virtual playground for you barbecue enthusiasts.
Amen. Okay, let's go through. We got a handful of topics here and different reports and things under the quarterback watch 2024.
Green 18
umbrella. Mike Florio thinks the NFL may make the Vikings and Falcons swap first round picks. He pontificates on Pro Football Talk. The Falcons tampered with quarterback Kirk Cousins, as proven by the things Cousins said during his introductory press conference, and the NFL is investigating this. Now, the NFL hasn't come out and said that it's officially tampering, but I think Florio, having talked to the Cousins behind the scenes and off the record and some of the reports, I mean, they were literally like planning their move in the 2 weeks leading up to free agency. They were packing boxes. Cousins alluded to having a conversation with their trainer, which technically would not be allowed in the days leading up. The question becomes now whether and what to extent the Falcons will be punished. The Falcons have the 8th pick in round 1. The Vikings have the 11th pick. What if the punishment is as simple as the Falcons and Vikings flip-flopping the 2 picks? The NFL set the precedent last year with the sudden and unexpected news of the Cardinals-Eagles settlement right before the draft. So they had to swap third-round picks, and they were like miles apart in where they were drafting. So it was like the 64 swapped for the
66 for 94, and then the Cardinals also got a fifth-round pick from the Eagles.
And it was literally like April 27th. I think it was the day of the draft or the day morning of the draft or
like
something.
Right before.
It would make sense for this to happen again between the Vikings and the Falcons, but the first round swap as opposed to the third round swap.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is just fodder for Pro Football Talk, or do you guys think there's an actual chance in the next 9 days that the Vikings could have the 8th overall pick because of the tampering situation?
I feel like with Florio's sources that he might not, like, he recklessly speculates on stuff that he is told or hears. And it's not necessarily like a decision, but it's like, hey, this could, like, I could see him talking to a person at the league and saying, hey, this could be a possibility. But I decided to do some digging this morning and find past precedents for this exact same situation under Roger Goodell. Okay. Because my question was, a first round swap seems very aggressive. And like, what would need to take place? Well, first of all, I didn't realize this, but in the case of Cardinals GM Monty Ossenfort illegally contacting Jonathan Gannon, who was an assistant, who was a coordinator with the Eagles, who eventually obviously got the Cardinals job. He was contacted during a non-contact period because Philadelphia was in the playoffs and like the cutoff had hit. So like you can only contact guys in the playoffs at certain junctures. Well, it's interesting. Ossenfort actually realized what he had done, or he didn't care, but then he's like, that was a mistake. So he contacted the league and self-reported himself. And then the other important thing is this was a settlement. So like Roger Goodell, it doesn't look like Goodell called the teams on draft day and said, here is the verdict. It sounds like he said, if you can settle this, settle it, because I'd prefer not to rule. And so, as you said, Phil, the resolution was that Arizona gave up the 66th pick in the third round in exchange for the 94th. And so Philly moved up. And then the Cardinals got a fifth round pick back. But it was an agreed to settlement / trade. Okay.
So was it a structured settlement?
It was.
Did the Eagles need cash now?
The Eagles needed resolution now. call 866-66-ROUND.
We should make 66. A we should make a new jingle for Zolgad or something. Call, you know, 651-646 ZUGLAD ZULJD.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
That's one of the great. That's one of the greatest picks of all time because, damn it, everyone loves that song.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I went back and looked though beyond that, and looked for what has been agreed to when there's been no agreement from one side. Okay, so this is the important thing because, as far as we know, Arthur Blank of the Falcons last month, who owns the team, came out and said I did not tamper with that quarterback. And here's what I found. The big one is 2022, where the Dolphins lost a 2023 first round pick, forfeited, not exchanged, and a fourth round pick in 2024. And there were also huge fines and suspensions for trying to lure Tom Brady away from the Patriots at the time. So that this goes back to his Patriots days, and Sean Payton from the Saints. But in that case, the Patriots and Saints got nothing.
Because nothing happened to them, though. Like, they didn't the Patriots didn't lose right. Brady to the Dolphins, right. Nor did the Saints right. lose Sean Payton to the Dolphins. But the Vikings lost Kirk Cousins yes. to the Falcons.
Which brings us to precedent two, which is 2016. The Chiefs and wide receiver Jeremy Maclin, again, from the poor Eagles. In that case, they did lose Maclin. So there was a player lost, and Kansas City was penalized third and sixth round picks and was fined $250,000. But those third and sixth round picks were forfeited and didn't go to Philadelphia.
Okay. So Philadelphia, did the NFL rule on that, or was that a settlement?
That couldn't have been a settlement. Nope.
Philadelphia got nothing.
Exactly. That was the league. Now, the precedent that I can find, the farthest one back with Goodell as commissioner, which could be good news for the Vikings, but it ain't going to be an exchange of first-round picks. 2008, when the 49ers tampered with, although he was under a franchise tag at the time, and he did not go to San Francisco, they tampered with Bears linebacker Lance Briggs. San Francisco forfeited its selection in the fifth round in 2008, and the Bears and 49ers switched third round picks.
Okay.
So I think the best the Vikings can hope for is to get a pick from the Falcons, but it's not a first round pick. But that being said, they have the 43rd pick in the second round, the 74th pick in the third round, and a 79th pick in the third round. So is there a world in which the Vikings will be given a pick? Now, here's the last point, though. In the cases where there was not an admission of guilt, it took a year for the rulings to come down.
So this would be more of a 2025
situation. So the Lance Briggs thing was 2007, and it was adjudicated in 2008. The Maclin thing was 2015, and it was adjudicated in 2016.
Yeah. So right, if this thing were to go down, let's say there, because if it's a settlement, it would probably happen in the next week.
Correct.
If it's not, and the NFL has to rule, we're talking more like next year.
Correct.
I also would be shocked if the Falcons settled on a first round pick swap.
Absolutely.
Because we'd be talking about, I did the Rich Hill draft chart math on this. We'd be talking about the equivalent of a mid third round pick in difference between the 8 and 11. Mm-hmm. And like on the Vikings side, hell, it'd be great because it's a lot shorter trip up the board from 8 to 5 or 8 to 3. You could probably hang on to an extra first round pick or something. Maybe it's even more likely if the Vikings had the 8th pick, could they get up to 5 without giving up the 23, and now they can still pick at 23 and get J.J. McCarthy at 5.
Yep.
So it'd be great for them. That would be a heavy penalty because you're talking about the top 11 picks in the draft. But you already went over the Falcons picks this year. They have, let's go to the third round, for instance.
Yep.
They've got the 74 and the 79. The Vikings do not have a third-round pick. The Vikings have the 108. If the Falcons came to the Vikings and said, all right, let's not get the league involved here. We tampered. I mean, you guys saw the Cousins packing their VHS tapes in boxes on Instagram a week beforehand. They knew it was going to happen. So, yeah, you caught us. You caught us. If the Vikings could swap the 108 for, like, the 79 and just move up 30 spots from the fourth round into the third round, is that fair?
That's probably far. Yes, that's probably far more logical than a swap of first round picks. But I think the question is, so if the Falcons do that, then that's great and it's done. The issue with the Cousins tampering, though, is I've checked, it's very on the periphery of what you're allowed and what you're not allowed. Like, as far as the medical reports went through people who are retained by the Falcons but not employed by them.
Mm.
And so it's very murky. It's very – look, let's all keep in mind, no matter what our biases are against him now, the Aider is the greatest businessman in pro sports history for a reason. So don't think for one second that he got totally sloppy.
It's not like, about the dollars, but it is about what the dollars represent.
I mean, he hurt himself by saying what he said, but again, you're allowed to have the medicals go through a third party that's not employed by said team, but might be retained by said team.
Okay. So probably not a first round pick swap.
And it might not be this year.
Okay. Let's keep a quarterback watch moving here.
Can I add one more thing to this? Because Bryson on my Ventline episode on Sunday threw out this idea. And by the way, this came up before the Florio report of the tampering charges. He just threw this idea out there that the Vikings and Falcons are just draft day traders, trade partners, no matter what. So in this scenario, and I believe he said the math added up. So the Vikings would give up 11, 23, 108. The Vikings would get 8. 43-74 from the Falcons. So basically, you're swapping your first three picks in general. You move up three spots. So
you'd move way up. You'd move up three spots
in the first
in
round.
The top 11.
You'd get
move back from your second pick.
You'd move up three spots. You'd get a second round pick and a third round pick in this year's draft, and you wouldn't obviously give up next year's first round pick. And then in that scenario, the Vikings would be picking 8-43-74.
So you'd be moving back 20 spots with that second pick, but up 35 spots mm-hmm. with your fourth round pick.
I think that would be actually, like, I love that idea. That way you because that's basically set up of, hey, got a first round pick, got a second round pick, got a third round pick. You're probably going to still get your quarterback at 8 most likely. Maybe that's still a trade up scenario, but that's probably also like a draft day. The board's falling out. Pick 7's coming up, and the Vikings want to jump up to 8 to get the next quarterback, or one of those guys has fallen. But actually, I really like that trade idea. That it makes more an easier structure. You don't give up next year's first-round pick. I actually would be all for that idea.
Well, you'd probably, so let's say that happened, and you had the 8. You'd probably have to trade that 43rd pick, whatever that Falcons pick is, to get to 5 if you wanted J.J. McCarthy. But then you'd still have your 2025 first-round pick, like you said.
Yep.
And you'd be sliding up 35 spots higher from your 108 to your 74.
I like it.
Yeah, okay. Let's call it in.
It's a good thought.
Call it in right now. Call it into Raj, into Arthur, into Kirky Boy.
Kirky Boy. Kirky Boy's in Cancun. Don't worry about him.
Speaking of the 23rd pick, by the way, this is interesting. So Jeremy Fowler, former Vikings beat writer, friend of the show here from ESPN, he says the Vikings are looking to hang on to their 23rd pick as they also look for their franchise quarterback. He said on ESPN this weekend, you've got Minnesota armed with 2 first-round picks. This is a team that could be active. I've talked to several teams who believe that Minnesota, at least right now, doesn't want to part with that second first-rounder, which is in the 20s. They want to try to preserve that, which could be tough to move up into the top 5 for a quarterback without giving up that pick. I guess you could give up your 2025 first round pick in like a 4th, move up to maybe 5 or something, and then hang on at the 23 for this year.
Right.
Yeah. That, right?
The team would allow it. Sure.
So the feeling is they've been looking potentially at J.J. McCarthy there one of the quarterbacks, but they might not want to give up enough to get to that fifth overall pick. So what do you make of this new report that they're trying to make this happen, get their quarterback without giving up the 23rd overall pick?
Well, I think depending on where they want to really go to, it might be a pipe dream, but I like the thought process again. And the issue is, so as teams value picks, it's always a future pick is always one round behind what the round is. So like if you're going to trade your 2025 first, because it's unknown where the Vikings are going to finish, it's perceived as a second round pick.
Yeah.
So I don't know that this is doable, but I like the thought process and I totally get it, because if you could go 11, 2025 first, and I'm sure more, but more picks, but not the 23, that still puts you in a position potentially to grab a pretty good defensive player. I think part of this too just depends on this. Is the board really going to fall quarterback, 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 quarterback? Is that really going to be the case, or is there one guy, and I'm total reckless speculation, is there one guy who's going to fall? Because at this time, if I recall last year, single digit days out of the draft, Will Levis was pulling the Drake May then. Like, mm-hmm. there were some who were like, oh, he's top three now. And we're all like, oh, wow, okay. And then he fell. Now, I don't expect Drake May to free fall as badly as Levis did, but I am saying it's happened. And so, like, to Dex's point about the Falcons pick, if they get to eight, is eight really, the quarterbacks are gone? Or is it, oh, hold on a second here, there's one left. Like, there's a lot of plausible scenarios that we and the Vikings probably have to be prepared for that aren't necessarily what we're thinking from what we've seen from Mox.
Well, and there's a very plausible scenario that someone very credible did mock this morning.
I want to mock!
That plays into this Fowler report, this sort of, what if the Vikings were to hang on to the 23? What would their plan be then to get a quarterback? And I'm going to put a trigger warning on this for some Vikings fans. The scenario that I'm going to lay out to you, that we are going to lay out to you,
oh boy,
may piss some people off. It may put some fans into a draft day rage. If this happens at the Fillmore on April 25th.
Oh, riot. Don't riot at the Fillmore. It's beautiful.
No, please do not riot.
Do not riot.
Don't riot. Fillmore. Don't riot.
And we'll lay this scenario out in a second after we shout out our friends at Aquaside. Declan, today is kind of crappy weather, but it's lake season here.
It is lake season. You know, you're about, what, 5-6 weeks away from Memorial Weekend. That's kind of like, you know, your kickoff to summer here, at least in the Midwest it is. And maybe when you put in that dock here soon, you're going to notice that there's some weird stuff at the bottom of that lake. And our friends at Aquaside can help take care of what's going on. They'll help diagnose what's going on. They'll also can give you the Aquaside pellets, which are safe products registered with the EPA and DNR. No permit required. Shipping is free. You can go to aquaside.com to learn more. Go to aquaside.com to learn more.
Now, I bet you the folks at Fletcher Lake Lodge, I don't know if they use Aquaside, but I'm guessing they have pretty pristine and clean lake areas.
Jeff. Look at that shot right there. Absolutely gorgeous. We are talking about a full-service fishing lodge located in beautiful Ontario, Canada. Only accessible, as you just saw there, by flying in on a traditional Canadian bush plane. The remote setting ensures exceptional trophy fishing for the guests. We're talking about trophy walleye. We're talking about northern. We're talking about muskie, smallmouth bass. Cabins accommodate groups from 2 to 12. A dock staff prepares your fully outfitted boat each morning. Jeannie and her staff, you know what? They get so many repeat customers because they treat their customers like family. So check them out. If you're thinking, you know, once the draft is done, summer is coming, I need some me time, what better place than Fletcher Lake Lodge? Just go to FletcherLake.com to learn more or book your reservation today. FletcherLake.com.
Okay.
I want a mock.
Mock!
This is from Peter Schrager, NFL Insider, NFL.com. Good morning, football. And he says this as a disclaimer on this 1.0 mock draft. He says, as always, this is not what I would do. This is what I'm hearing from my sources around the league. He is one of the most plugged in NFL people you're going to find. And he works for the league, so he has pipelines. And here is how he is essentially, this is what he's reporting, not what he's guessing. He's sort of reporting how he thinks the mock is going to go. Bears take Caleb Williams. Commanders take Jaden Daniels. Patriots, with all the trade steam and smoke and talk and Vikings jumping up to three, the Patriots saying, we're taking our franchise quarterback, Drake May. In fact, he even says, Patriots brass took Drake May out for steaks the night before his Foxborough visit earlier this month, and they loved Drake May. Oh, they also said they loved Jaden Daniels. So yeah, they're fine with either of these guys.
I bet those Robert Kraft paid for steaks were delicious.
Yeah, hopefully they didn't go out for massages after. So, stay away from the Robert Kraft.
Don't go to the strip mall massage parlor.
Yeah, stay away. But this, like, just to stop there for a second, this is, you know, we have all these conversations about the Vikings need to do whatever it takes. Don't get cold feet. Move up into the top three. It's not their decision. If the Patriots or the Commanders say, we don't want your 2025 first-round pick. We don't want the 11. We don't want the 23. We want a franchise 10-year quarterback. So, sorry, guys. We're taking these quarterbacks.
Yes.
All right, then let's keep going. The Giants trade up to four. This is what's interesting.
Yeah.
Because, and here's the trade. He is saying the Giants are going to... They're tossing Arizona this year's third-round pick, so they're giving Arizona the six. Obviously, they're flopping the four and the six, and then a third-round pick, and then a second-round pick next year to get to four. And they take J.J. McCarthy with the fourth overall pick. And you might be saying, well, the Vikings can offer more than a third and a second. They could offer the 23, and if needed, they could offer next year's first-round pick. But the Cardinals might be saying, we don't want to move all the way down to 11 because we want one of these receivers. So it's risky for them to go down to 11 and then get boxed out of one of the top three receivers. And now it's like they got extra picks, but what they really wanted was like Marvin Harrison Jr. or somebody.
The Giants are the gotcha team. I've been saying that for weeks. They're the gotcha team. Mm-hmm. They finished exactly where the Vikings should have, because they are in the driver's seat. If Daniel Jones is not their guy, and I'm suspecting he might not be.
See that press conference yesterday?
What do you mean?
His eyes were...
What is up with New York?
Adam Gase?
It was Adam Gase all over again. What? Dude, you look like you're going to come... I mean, you look like Norman Bates.
Daniel, do you still feel like this team is yours? Are you going to be the quarterback for the next 5 years?
You know what it is? It's the Thomas DePay. Back in the day when Thomas,
your foot injury there. You got that walking boot on. What are you talking about?
Okay, I'm scared now, so I'm going to walk away. You do whatever you want with your foot. Good luck. Good luck with your career, Thomas DePay.
I'm not wearing a walking boot. You are.
But the Gaze thing and the Daniel Jones thing, it's like, what's going on? What's in the water in Jersey? Don't answer that question.
So quarterback.
Yep.
You've now been rejected by the Patriots. Oh, guys, I thought we had a deal. Sorry, we like Drake May.
Well,
get out of here.
To your point, the Patriots pick is like a starting point, and it's probably a long shot. Like, if I'm the Vikings, I'm assuming, unless a deal is done, I'm assuming that picks 1, 2, and 3 are going to be incredibly hard. Picks 1 and 2 to me are out. Like, I don't think you're getting pick 2. You'd have to give up so much. So pick 3 becomes like the first one that you make the phone call on, but that's really hard. So this is where the Giants screw you, because 4, I think, is very realistic until the team's like, oh, we'll just give you a little, you know, we'll give you pick 6, and now you get your wide receiver.
It's not just about, can the Vikings offer the Cardinals more than the Giants can? It's about, do the Cardinals want to move all the way back to 11, or would they rather move back to 6, take a little bit less draft capital, and still stick and pick in the top 6? So Chargers take Marvin Harrison Jr. 5, according to Traeger. Cardinals get Rome Odunze. Titans take Joe Alt at 7. Falcons take Dallas Turner at 8, so he's the first defensive player off the board. Colts trade up with the Bears for the third receiver, Malik Nabers, which makes a ton of sense. Get weapons. You already got Michael Pittman Jr. Go put another stud receiver around the sort of erratic but electric Anthony Richardson, and push forward. Then the Jets take Brock Bowers, the tight end, which puts the Vikings on the clock at 11. Regrouping here, right? Like, oh my God, we thought we were going to get up there. And
people at the Fillmore ain't happy right now.
And they'd be even less happy when the Vikings take cornerback Terrion Arnold with the 11th overall pick. Here's the write-up. The Vikings stay put to take a top corner, so he'd be the top cornerback in the draft here.
All right.
A great all-around prospect. He lived in arrived in Tuscaloosa as a five-star safety out of high school, then played inside and outside corner under Nick Saban. He flourished in Alabama's defense as the field general. Great juice, great leader. Sam Darnold would be the Vikings' day one starter in this scenario, but that doesn't mean Minnesota is done with the quarterback room. Defense, offensive tackles, there's a run on offensive tackles, four in a row here. Jacksonville taking a cornerback at 17. Byron Murphy, the second from Texas, the defensive tackle to the Bengals at 18. We speed down, and the Vikings are back on the clock at 23, where they take the fifth quarterback off the board in this draft out of Oregon, Bo Nix.
I want a mock! Mock!
People, a lot of people would be triggered and furious with this. Why didn't you get up the board? Well, it's not their choice. It's literally not their choice whether they pick third, fourth, fifth. It is up to other teams and whether they want to accept what the Vikings are offering. So how would you guys feel? How would the room at the Fillmore feel if the draft played out
this way? I think Bo Nix is a, I have no interest in
Let's say it's Penix. Let's say it's Penix.
I'd feel better if it's Penix because I think he's got more pro upside that we've seen. Bo Nix would be a huge stretch, and I think I would join the people at the Fillmore in shaking my fist. That's the most violent I'd get. I'd shake my fist because the Fillmore's a gorgeous room. Again, no destruction at all, please. Thank you very much.
Beautiful chandelier.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly right. Leave the room alone. It's gorgeous. I'd be disappointed. Well, let's go back to pick 11, too. And Dukes brought this up in the scoop, and I'm inclined to agree. The first thing that stopped me, and look, I mean, if it's a stud cornerback, I'm not saying it's wrong, but with the need this team has on the defensive line and defensive tackle in particular, and all of the pub, unless it's, you know, been misconstrued, the Byron Murphy, is it junior or the second?
The second, yeah.
Okay, Byron Murphy, the second to me, makes the most sense there. Yeah, I mean, I think if you took him at 11 and then you took a quarterback at 23, I don't think that's the end of the world. But as I keep saying too, I'd be curious to know. So I think the Cardinals pick becomes very tough because of what you explained. So you can't just say, well, we'll give you more because it's like, well, the Giants allow them to get Odunza very easily. Yeah. My question becomes five then. What did you offer for five? So I would be curious to know that.
Yeah. And did Jim Harbaugh at the end of the day say, you guys screwed me 2 years ago. Quase, I love you, man. But
yeah, I was going to say, they're still
not going to
help. That's a weird one. That's a weird one.
So, I mean, it sounds like if it were Byron Murphy the second and Michael Penix, you'd have a little bit
different
feeling about this than a cornerback and Bo Nix.
Yeah.
But this, prepare yourself for this type of scenario.
Yeah,
well, Thursday night.
We have to be prepared for everything, but I do think the Vikings are definitely working to move up. Like, I don't think that is a... It'd be different if you didn't trust them at all and were like, you knew that they were trying to lowball teams. I don't feel like that. I feel like the due diligence is real. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but if you took Byron Murphy the second and Penix at 23, I don't think that's a disaster. Defensively, if you improve that line, that's not the worst thing in the world. That line needs help.
That's the thing. And by the way, like, I still stand by this. There are multiple correct quarterback answers for the Vikings in this draft. Almost any of these quarterbacks, if not all of them, would be better off with Minnesota than whoever is going to wind up drafting them.
Right.
So they Bo Nix with a different team might be a bust. Bo Nix with Vikings might be a top 10 quarterback someday. He has a better chance with this team. But here's another interesting nugget as quarterback watch continues. Adam Schefter on which quarterback the Vikings prefer. This is a quote from a video that came out yesterday on social media from ESPN.
Okay.
The real question is, who would the Vikings prefer at quarterback? That's the million-dollar question that we have to answer. And Adam Schefter believes the Vikings would prefer Drake May. And he said so on Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft special. Quote from Shefty, I think Drake May is the leader in the clubhouse for the Vikings, but it all depends on the team that you talk to. If Minnesota were to find a way to get up to three, my sense is Drake May would be the preference. So if you're New England, you have to say, okay, we're at three. Do we take Drake May or do we trade back and take J.J. McCarthy later? Of course, if you trade back with the Vikings at 11, you might not have access to J.J. McCarthy.
Correct.
Which is another thing. If you're the Patriots, Vikings are offering you all these things, but do you want to get frozen out of a great quarterback class?
Right.
So what do you want to do to come out of this with the quarterback that you believe in is the question here. But Adam Schefter talking to people, talking to his sources are saying that Drake May is the leader in the clubhouse for who the Vikings like best.
So Drake May appears to be, to, especially with the what we've discussed about him in recent days, the most interesting case here. Like it feels like the most, it actually feels like McCarthy, as far as the knowledge about him, has ascended to more of a sure thing. Drake May feels like more of a wild card, but the upside is probably or most definitely above McCarthy. So here's what the Vikings need. The Vikings need the Drake May camp, or yeah, the Drake May camp to tell the Patriots, buzz off. We have no interest. Your team is stripped down. Bryce Young is the poster child for what happens. Yeah. We quite frankly don't trust you. Your coaching staff, we don't trust them.
Your fans are obnoxious.
Yeah, we want to go to Minnesota.
Your weather kind of sucks.
We want to go to Minnesota. So what we need is behind the scenes.
Your logo's outdated.
Well, your logo would just go back to Pat the Patriot. Like, that's the thing. Pat the Patriot is brilliant, timeless, and I don't like, I mean, their change sucked. But anyway, I feel like that becomes the most important thing, because with where Drake May, like the upper echelon might be, for all we know, Hall of Fame, right? But the lower is he's mishandled, and like he does have some deficiencies that can't be worked on. And the Patriots are like, what should we do with this? We don't know. We're all in our first year coaching and Belichick's not here. I think that would be the best thing, is if the Drake May camp said, you know what? We want to play with the Vikings. We're going to drag our feet on almost anybody else. The Vikings are going to have to give up a lot, and we know that. But that's what we want.
I mean, he already ate their steaks, though. He already went out, little steak dinner, Foxborough, well, Steakhouse, whatever.
I downed their steak, too. I downed their steaks, too. They got all those rings. But, you know, you look at places where a kid like that could develop. And, again, you name me a better place than here right now with the infrastructure, personnel, the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for a year, behind Darnold.
Exactly. He might sit for a year. And that's absolutely fine.
Hey, here's a question. Could you franchise Darnold? Let's say stick with me on this. Let's say Drake May sits for a year. Vikings get Drake May, he sits for a year. Darnold plays all 17 games, has a career year. He finally starts developing into the guy that you thought.
Yeah.
He throws for 4,000 plus yards, he throws 28 touchdowns.
So he's Baker Mayfield.
11 picks, Baker Mayfield type season, yeah.
Yep.
Now, the Thunder.
Yo, it's rolling
cool.
through the SLP.
Wow, dude.
That was
it's
good.
Rolling through the SLP right now. Right now, we're in a delay. I tell you, the kids can't play outside right now. We're in a rain delay.
Hot takes inside only right now, kids. Could you, I mean, obviously the league would know that your goal is to trade him, but could you get value for Sam Darnold if he plays his ass off and your goal is to sit Drake May for a year anyways, or even J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, unless they agreed to it. Unless the contract, I am hard-pressed to believe that Sam Darnold's contract with the Vikings says that you can't. Yeah, you can franchise him.
Yeah. Just interesting thought, I guess. So that's just what Jeremy Fowler, Adam Schefter, Peter Schrager, some of the top NFL insiders are seeing and hearing about the Minnesota Vikings.
The Schrager thing's intriguing. I'd love to know more about like what he was told to arrive at that scenario.
Yeah.
Like that's
what's
interesting.
His process?
Yeah, exactly. What's the process? And like, did he talk to people who said the Vikings are trying to trade up, which I think they are, but are basically not having success? Comes back to that walkaway price too. Like if the Vikings walkaway prices will include our 2025 first, and that is it. You know, with, they're trying to keep a look at that, huh? I'm getting signs from above. You know what this is? Draft intelligence coming from the heavens. Draft intelligence. This is why you stick with me, kids. Sports dad.
Once you get too close to the walkaway price, boom, a bolt of lightning comes down.
What's the walkaway price, Crazy?
Okay, we got to get to the Justin Jefferson holdout. Second year in a row, right, of Justin Jefferson not showing up. What does it mean? And then I got one more mock for you guys, too. But our draft party is coming up in 9 days. We are wildly excited. The Fillmore, Minneapolis, it's sold out. But before, and even if you don't have a ticket to the Fillmore, beforehand at Fulton Brewing from 3 to 7 o'clock next Thursday, April 25th, just steps away from the Fillmore, there's a pre-party, a pre-draft party party at the Fulton Brewing, Lonely Blondes, 300 IPAs, a special guest appearance by legendary quarterback Tommy Kramer from 5 to 7 o'clock, and Fulton has you covered with beer, seltzer, a full menu to keep you busy before one of the biggest nights in not only Purple Daily history, but Vikings history, Fulton Brewing. And a shout out to our friends at Crybaby Craig's. It's the official and favorite hot sauce of us here at Purple Daily. Every VIP in attendance at the draft party will get themselves a free bottle of Crybaby Craig's. So thank you to Crybaby Craig's and Fulton. Also our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company helping to power this episode. As a business owner, do you have a game plan in place to stay focused on safety and preventing claims against your company? Let the team at Federated support your business. Federated offers a customizable lineup of industry-specific coverages, risk management services to help you continue your winning streak. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours. Rated A-plus superior by AM Best Company. So Justin Jefferson, not at the Vikings' initial offseason program here, which is not much of a surprise because he's waiting on a gigantic contract. But something interesting, Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings on the radio, very plugged in, KFXN radio. He said, I believe this was yesterday or maybe late last week. I think it was yesterday, though. But he said Jefferson, contrary to some reports and beliefs, does not have a problem with the Vikings' current quarterback uncertainty. Quote, and I'm getting that from the inside. So he wants to make it clear from the people he's talking to, the Vikings want it out or Jefferson or whatever, that he does not have a problem with the Vikings' quarterback situation.
Did we ever really think that that was going to be why he didn't sign?
This show didn't.
Like, we've talked about this for a long time. Do I think that they've consulted him? Do I think he thinks it's important? Yes. But I've never understood this whole thing that seemed to play this off as Justin Jefferson is not going, he's going to demand a trade because the Vikings just lost prime of his career, Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kirk Cousins, he's a nice quarterback, okay? But Justin Jefferson, like, it'd be one thing if it was Joe Burrow, his pal, who left. And you might be upset about that. But I always thought this was the silliest storyline that tried to paint this as, well, that's why. No, Justin Jefferson wants what he has coming, and it's going to be a huge contract. And clearly there are some hiccups there. Now, those might be worked out in a week. They might be worked out in a month. Who knows? But I've always found it. I mean, O'Connell has bent over backwards, and I don't think he's lying. How many times when asked about Jefferson since the combine, basically, has he said, oh, we talk a lot. I'm calling him all the time. We talk all the time. So this notion that, well, Kirk is gone, and so that's it. Franchise is dead.
Fear-mongering.
Fear-mongering. Yeah. And I think it started with the Crusaders, because the Crusaders at the time were like, well, Kirk can't leave. If Kirk leaves, the whole
thing's going to come crumbling down.
And now the Crusaders have been sort of, well, they've gone to Atlanta, or the local chapter has been destroyed. So that's not a problem now. But I've never thought this had anything to do with anything but money. Yeah. And I don't blame Justin for that.
Dude, here's the wild thing about that whole narrative. And again, I don't think this show was never really fooled by that. Now, obviously, if the Vikings didn't have a plan and they've been keeping him in the loop. Yeah. If they were to say, hey, we believe Sam Darnold, without any sort of test drive, is going to be our quarterback for the next 5 years. If I'm Jefferson, I might be like, But this is a really well-run franchise for the most part. We obviously nitpick certain things, the 2022 draft, but NFLPA survey, results on the field. They're rarely a train wreck. They're always competing for playoffs. Like, it's not an untrustworthy organization like the Jets or the Cardinals or the Panthers. But on the field, two things about last season's Justin Jefferson game log. His biggest game of the season came with Nick Mullins at quarterback. And if you take the five games he played in after the hamstring injury and you extrapolate to a 17-game average, 110 catches, 1,700 yards, 7 touchdowns, with Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall throwing him passes. This dude's going to... People trying to give like Kirk Cousins the credit for making Justin Jefferson. This dude put up 500 yards in five games with Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall.
Right.
So he can literally put up numbers with any type of quarterback, starter, or backup based on what we saw last year.
The most important person employed by the Vikings to Justin is Kevin O'Connell. Because Kevin's the one that propped up Kirk. And, you know, I mean, if you guys go back to Justin's rookie year with Zimmer, he didn't start the first two games. Inexplicably, BC Johnson did. And there were moments where he disappeared because they were like, well, he's doubled. We can't get him the ball now.
Yeah.
And O'Connell's been like, oh, no, that's not necessarily true. So, yeah, this comes down to, and I'm not saying that it's not a concern, at least a little bit, till it's done. So I'm not trying to say the Jefferson contract is done. I don't know that. But if you were worried about the quarterback, you're worried about the wrong thing. And look, do the Vikings have a choice to make here? And one, I thoroughly believe he's coming back and they want him back. But do the Vikings have a choice to make here by signing a guy who's a non-quarterback to what is essentially is a QB contract? Absolutely. Absolutely. There is a choice. And you might decide, oh, I don't know about that. But this whole storyline or narrative that it came down to who was throwing him the ball is some of the biggest bunch of garbage I've ever seen.
Yeah. Glad we clear that up.
It just feels like, too, once, you know, and once the draft does get over with, that talk, those talks will immediately switch, or at least the objective on the Vikings offseason priority list is going to shift to getting Justin Jefferson done. The draft's 10 days away. They're doing all their due diligence. I understand why people are upset. I know he's skipping voluntary workouts, and some people even still mock the idea that why are people freaking out over voluntary workouts? But this deal is going to get done. I envision him being paid one of the highest receivers and highest non-quarterbacks in the NFL. It's going to get done. I think we can chill out. If it's not done by the time, you know, mandatory minicamp and other things start popping up, okay, let's start percolating a little bit and getting a little freaked out. But I envision at the end of the day it gets done.
My only question on this is, like, if it doesn't get done because of quarterback fear-mongering, but because the Vikings just don't want to meet the contractual demands.
Yep.
Would you rather them make the trade in the next 9 days so that they can get 2024 draft capital? Or are you okay with this thing spilling over into the summer and the Vikings getting 2025 draft capital if they decide they have to trade him?
I guess I'd like to know, and we obviously can't know this, where things stand. Because like they said, they got incredibly close last summer before training camp or before the season started. So if they feel that they're really, really close, then no, I wouldn't trade him. If there's some huge divide now, then yeah, I'd get the capital now.
The Jaguars, but I mean, 17th pick, is because they're going to be better than the 17th pick if they get Justin Jefferson.
But that would be an enormous divide. But I mean, if this thing is close and it's literally sticking, you know, let's say there's three sticking points left, but they're just that, sticking points, then no. And Dex is right. Until he doesn't show up for something that's deemed mandatory, he's not a holdout. And he didn't hold out, like he didn't show up for anything until the minicamp last year. So is this interesting and intriguing? Absolutely. Is this some type of five alarm? Oh my God. No, it's not even close.
Okay. Got one more thing for you guys here before we...
I want a mock!
Because we do have... another Mel Kiper Jr. mock. It's not an official 4.0. It's the Mel Kiper Field Yates alternating three-round mock. They've taken Todd McShay out of the formula.
Todd, just throw him aside.
Out of the machine, they're putting Field Yates in the old Todd McShay role.
What a ruthless, ruthless place that can
even
be.
Even the Photoshop job, they're just like cutting out Todd's head and putting Field's head where Todd to be. So these guys are going back and forth. It's a three-round mock, and we'll just start at the top here with the first overall pick, which Mel Kiper gets, not Field. Mel gets the first overall pick.
Of course he does.
Field.
So he'll take Caleb Williams for the Bears, and then Field Yates takes Jaden Daniels on behalf of the Commanders, and then Kiper. They do have trades, but Kiper is standing pat at three, pun intended. Where the Patriots take Drake May. I don't see the Patriots trading back, even if they have needs at several other positions. Taking May secures their future at the NFL's most important position.
Yeah, poor Drake May. 3 years from now, he's working the drive up at a Wendy's.
Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Do love good
That's Field Yates' pick right there.
All right.
And then we have our first trade here for the number five pick, where Mel Kiper has the Vikings trading with the Chargers. Here's what he says. Because I have the odd-numbered picks in this three-round draft, I ended up with everything I needed to make this deal happen myself. So he can only trade with the odd picks.
So he's patting himself on the back.
It's like the Spider-Man meme at himself.
He's just saying he can't trade for an even-numbered pick, but these are two odd-numbered picks.
Okay, all right.
So it's the Vikings getting the number five, and they're trading the 11, the 23, and the 2025 first-round pick.
Okay.
Ouch. For J.J. McCarthy.
I want a mock! Mock!
And he says it would be worth the price if the organization feels like McCarthy can be the guy. There is some risk involved, but his physical tools are appealing. So there you go.
Interesting. I think this is a possibility, but here's my question. Do the Chargers pass on trade opportunities and just take Alt? Because they need
a tackle.
That would give them bookend tackles.
Yeah. I'm looking for the other ones here. Michael Penix going to the Rams with the first pick in the second round. So the Rams trade up to get Michael Penix.
I personally love that thought.
Take over. And then Bo Nix goes to the Giants at 38 in a trade with Tennessee.
So Stafford's okay with that, though? Like, it's not going to threaten him or his job if his replacement's on the roster?
See, now you're just trolling. You're just trolling.
It's not about the dollars, but it is about what the dollars represent.
You can't let it go.
Is Jefferson gonna want out now? Because he's like, I want to play with Stafford and then Penix.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see the draft altering his.
I do actually like it.
So there you go, boys. A couple of heavy hitting mocks here. A bunch of quarterback watch updates as we march forward 9 days until the NFL draft. Man,
I'm giddy with excitement right now.
We also have, we got Judd's Hockey Show winding down the wild season. We got Flagrant Howls ramping up Timberwolves postseason. We got the Score North Twin Show and the new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. Trevor Plouffe Tuesday today as the Twins try to stay afloat without two of their best players on the injured list. Royce Unchained, Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd. It's a good day to be a Score North podcast here in the middle of April 2024. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. We'll see you tomorrow.